All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we here are going to wrap up the doctrine of anger. Roman numeral 5, page 5 of our notes, in the conclusion, anger is an emotional response and secondary to being evoked by something as simple as an inconsistency between what we expect and obtain. It can be that easy to set it off. Again, emotions are responders. We're not to operate under our emotions. Emotions are there to express, give evidence of what we are. Being happy is an emotion. Feeling good, we don't operate in regards to how we feel. And that's the Fundy mentality, the feel-good ministry out there. Pump them up, get them emotionally stirred up. And they don't give any doctrine to hang on to after the fact or during the fact. Then what? So no, doctrine is the way we're to respond. Sin anger, obviously, can arise and crop up on any given occasion for even some of the simplest things, things that really don't even make sense when you think them through sometimes. So B, initial feelings that can trigger anger. And things that you need to be aware of that can lead to anger, if you're not careful, include fear, disappointment, shame, guilt, jealousy, envy, pain, like whacking your finger with a hammer, and unmentionable words come out, even though you will mention them explicitly at the time, and even fatigue or hunger. Yeah, I know. A medical science, oh, they got a medical excuse for everything. Your blood sugar's low. And their blood sugar's low. Give them an excuse for being gripey and angry and things of this nature. Well, deal with it. It's your sin nature still. Making a difference what your physical body is doing otherwise. So see, sin anger does not take responsibility for one's own obligation to apply doctrine or deal with situations according to righteousness, according to God's standards. And again, the John passage, the chapter that we just saw, read through a lot of it, in regards to the Jews' attitude and anger towards Christ because he applied doctrine, and they judged him, therefore, erroneously in their anger. In verse 24, and it's another fallacy you'll hear people spit out, you know, like Miley Cyrus and her stupid little songs. I had to watch my word there. You know, only God judges. Remember, only God judges. No, God has given us discernment to judge others. But that judgment is to be done righteously. And that's verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. To critique others in regards in ourselves. In regards to the truth of doctrine being our standard of how we critique. And not getting under your sin nature. Not leading with your emotions and things of this nature as you pass an assessment upon another person or yourself in that respect. We are to assume our own responsibility, our own obligation to Bible doctrine, and deal accordingly in regards to these things. So D, many disputes, arguments, and violence are the result of anger that is often prompted by pride. That pride can come in a form, many different forms. Religious pride, racial pride, pride in family, things of this nature. And the next thing you know, all hell breaks loose as the smelly substance hits the fan under anger. Proverbs 29:22-23. An angry man stirs up strife. It tends to spread. You get under your emotions. It's a known fact. You're around emotional people. Those emotions will wear on you, one way or the other. You're around somebody that's generally happy all the time. After a while, it kind of lifts your own spirits. Angry the same way, etc. And for the angry person, they tend to create conflict. That's what they want to do. They want to express that anger, whether it is a conflict between others or just between that person and another individual. And a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. The sin, the portfolio of sin activity that stems from an emotional bout of anger can be quite numerous in regards to the sins that would occur in that respect. In verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low. And pride, obviously, arrogance, obviously can be the pinnacle for which anger finds reason to express itself. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. To keep your sin nature overruled, recognize that in the case of necessary vengeance, this will be taken care of by God ultimately in all aspects, and to look to God for vengeance, for recompense, justice, utilizing His standards in regards to how to do these things, whether it's through the law or whatever. So, one, because of pride, men take to heart the slights, insults, and injuries they receive from others. It should be real and perceived. Sometimes it's just perceived and it's not really the intention of others. But affronts do come, and you let your pride get in the way. Next thing you know, you're spinning off in angry land. Two, they often are not enraged because of some real damage done to them, but due to injury of their pride. Again, like I said, the pride can come in many forms and fashions. To diss somebody's profession, or a family member, or something like that. See. Rather than keep your cool. Keep anger overruled, not letting it go beyond any righteous indignation otherwise. Take it as a personal insult or affront. E, as a general rule, we should be slow to anger, ignoring trivial things that may slight our pride, and only become angry when it is truly justifiable, since anger inhibits our reason. People get angry and they end up doing really stupid things. Emotions cloud our reasoning often, just as fear can. You know, you see it in the war movies. People get into fear, and the next thing you know, they're running. Can't move, even though they're being shot at and they're out in the open. You want to yell, "Get up and run, idiot!" Anyway. Proverbs 14:17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. To be quick-tempered, if you will, wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve. See, that old saying. Now we're not to be of that type. We will end up. Eating our own words, in effect. And verse 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. Those who exude patience, who do not fly off the handle immediately, but will try to absorb the situation and sort it out according to doctrine. They manifest great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly, stupidity, doing foolish things. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. It shows a form of self-control that before God in His eyes is even greater than someone who has great physical capabilities otherwise. Great strength. Inner strength. And he who rules the spirit than he who captures the city. Proverbs 19:11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, to be discerning in regards to things. And it is his glory to overlook a transgression. We sum that application up in the phrase grace amount. How often could we simply just grace somebody out rather than reacting, knee-jerk reaction with anger, displeasure, etc. Grace them out. If it's trivial, especially. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Just because they may make an error. And then you just kind of fly off the handle. Well, what does that accomplish? Like that's going to, fix the malady in and of itself. No, it's not. Grace people out, and that is one of the traits and characteristics that an adjusted local church should exemplify in regards to our dealing with one another and others, exuding grace towards others. See. Proverbs 19:11, 19:19. A man of great anger will bear the penalty. It'll come back on your head. A universal principle that everybody ought to recognize. What goes around comes around. You're going to be this kind of person, then expect it to come back and be hammered back on you. For if you rescue him, you only have to do it again. Great anger is one who is persistent and stubborn in regards to letting their SCA go in this direction. And they'll turn right around, even though you can calm them down, one deal, they'll turn right around and they'll do it again. See. In James 1:19. There, in the context of your assembly, teaching the Bible doctrine, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. To digest the teaching, to not be the type of person that readily just jumps off with her immediate own opinion without thinking things through, looking at the other doctrine. Things of this nature. Quick to hear recognizes your readiness and teachability. Slow to anger looks at the fact that doctrine often will bust any one of us in our own sacred cows. A sacred cow being a thought process, human viewpoint, or other aspect, person, thing, whatever, that we set up at the compromise of doctrine and not willing to put doctrine before often. It comes off the aspect of the golden calf, Operation Golden Calf, the Exodus, their sacred cow. See. You got to be careful in regards to one's life and not to establish sacred cows. People do it all the time and sometimes don't even recognize it. Whether it's in the form of relationships, jobs, pursuits, funds, bills, whatever. And you do it at the expense of doctrine. F, avoid silently bearing grudges and resentment. In other words, the mental attitude aspect. Somebody does something to hack you off. And rather than just forget, move on, you tend to hold a grudge. To resent people. Sometimes you can see it in people's demeanors as they're around certain people. that they still have a problem in regards to them. If you have a problem with someone, the doctrinal approach is to talk to them and seek to resolve the dispute. Forgive and forget and move on. Leviticus 19:18. Obviously, you can only establish peace when both parties are predisposed to do so. But the doctrinal individual, the adjusted believer, will at least attempt to do it if they have something that they just can't drop, see, in regards to someone else. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's Psalm 55:3. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me, as it is in regards to certain SCA hostile types. This TV had on occasion, some of their history channels are probably some of the best TV you can get a hold of, if it's accurate. The whole deal of World War I. And the reason of conflicts of nations and people and nations in mass holding grudges against other nations and against other people. And they prolonged a war that was just stupid to begin with. But anyway, we know how that goes. Compare Matthew 18:21. Got an enemy, you go in and you defeat him for total victory. Move on. It's all this police action that you see today. It's all just part of the Antichrist agenda being set up. Matthew 18:21. You know, a nation harbors terrorists. Well, get rid of them. You got the power to do it. Oh, the humanity of it all. They'd sit there and let them kill innocent people. Let these nations continue to produce them. The insanity, man. The world is becoming insane. No wonder they legalized marijuana. Anyway, just kidding. 18:21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? I've forgiven up to 7 times. He said, no, 7 times 70. So as many times as necessary, obviously looking at an individual that is seeking to reestablish a relationship. So G, anger is not a mark of intelligence, but foolishness and unwise behavior. That's sin anger. Again, Proverbs 30. Proverbs has a lot to say in regards to anger. 32 and 33. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have plotted evil, put your hand on your mouth. Self-inflation, the ego trip that our society rides on in general, stimulate your emotions, things of this nature. The plans that are deceptive and unrighteous in regards to their very activity. Keep your mouth shut in regards to it. It's not worth pursuing. For the churning of milk produces butter. And pressing the nose brings forth blood. So the churning of anger produces strife. just as factual as the first two are, so it is in regards to anger. Simply igniting conflict and producing and perpetuating conflict. Ecclesiastes 7:9. The next book right after Proverbs. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. It's what they hold dear to them. And there are people that like that reputation. They think that they're the badasses of the world. Pro wrestlers, people of this ilk, they like to emulate this kind of stuff. Age, be cognizant of those easily angered and avoid them lest you too emulate their behavior. Again, Proverbs, you hang out with these people, the doctrine of separation should be obvious, at least in some areas of people's lives, but now it's one that people will take issue with till the end of history, probably. Proverbs 22:24-25. Do not associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man unless you learn his ways and find a snare for yourselves. The principle is the SCA appeals to the other SCA, and bad company corrupts good morals. You know, those principles that are established in the Bible. Deny, finally, anger is nothing more than that which kills one's happiness, kills your buzz in life. Joy, peace, and harmony, and can even adversely, I might add, affect your health. Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken bone dries up. A broken spirit dries up the bones. To try to maintain. Obviously, we're not saying you have to go around doing backflips all the time and the old fake smiling thing in life. But understand your attitude, your approach to life, your emotional control or lack of can have a direct impact in regards to your health. I remember working with a guy. He was quick-tempered. So one you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley on top of it all. Just get so mad his face would turn red. Yeah, he's in his 50s, massive heart attack. Yeah, there's others that have the same, have a heart attack for other reasons, but I'm just telling you, people look at that and they knew. Yeah. Oh, hey, man. Why? Anyway.